Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're in the Cafe Book Club. We are doing The Universe Always Has a Plan with Mr. Matt Kahn, and his subtitle for this, which I think is really great, The 10 Golden Rules of Letting Go. Let me go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy. How are you tonight?
Off with your head!
I just don't feel like I can do anything right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're just going to let that go, right? For sure.
We'll see.
For sure.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. So on the back cover of Matt's book, it said, with Matt as your guide.
Well, let's talk about the book. I don't think we've ever actually talked about what book are we talking about, Rob?
Yeah, The Universe Always Has a Plan by Matt Kahn.
Okay. We haven't
The 10 Golden Rules of Letting Go. Yeah. It says, with Matt as your guide, you are about to deeply connect to something magical, transporting you to a new realm with your soul, where your soul can grow and expand. Boy, doesn't that sound like a lovely invitation? I thought that was really great. And right off the bat, Amy, what were you thinking of that first chapter and even maybe the introduction?
Oh, I really enjoyed that.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, we're back.
We've been having all kinds of fun things happening to the phones and different stuff today. So anyway, I was wondering if Mercury's in retrograde. That might be an interesting thing to check out. I know.
Well, no, we don't want to give that energy. But anyway, we're getting back to Matt's book, The Universe Always Has a Plan, The 10 Golden Rules of Letting Go. And so I was gifted this by my dear friend Kelly. And we decided to go through, and I said the 10 steps and go through the first one. And so the rule number one is you've done nothing wrong. So what we'll be doing is we'll be going through each of the chapters and looking at, well, how does that relate to me and my life? And how do I, you know, can I really buy this thing that the universe always has a plan? So I think, especially nowadays, you know, it's like, I think a lot of people feel like they're getting dumped on by the universe or God or whatever you want to call it. And I think it's a perfect time to, you know, to do this work. So I think for a lot of people, when you say you've done nothing wrong, they're not going to like that and they're going to bite back at you.
Well, and as we go through the chapter, Matt really talks about that being the ego and that coming through love and compassion, that it's really kind of our litmus test to see where we are with different stuff. So kind of stepping back into the introduction, he says, it's a time of transformation where the dissolving of relationships or roles makes room for new experiences to be birthed. It is much like a spiritual form of empty nest syndrome. A time of big change and loss. And I think that's really, you know, here with all the circumstances we've got with COVID, boy, a lot of people can be feeling like, yep, that's what it sounds, that's what it feels like, that's for sure.
Let's look at the last couple of years. You know, we had 9/11, which may not be so much of a memory for a lot of people, but we've had these fires, and we've had, in Vegas, we've had the shooting, and I think people were exhausted to begin with, and this just kicking a lot of people over the edge. So, and this is really testing us. And it's easy to say it's the ego, but that doesn't really help me, Robin. So it was like, well, we're gonna like, how do we make sense of this in our lives? You know, can I really believe that the universe always has a plan and that it's for my highest good, in my daily actions, in my faith, in my conversations, in my phone calls, in my Zooms. Yeah? Well,
mm-hmm.
So it's about, to me, being honest about, I'm not particularly liking what's going on, but I believe that there's a higher good. And I believe I do come from that place most of the time, right? There's some moments when I don't. And so I think that's what I'm hoping for myself personally and for the people that we support through the podcast, that we help them to come from that place. And for me, it's like, let's just imagine that that's true. I mean, none of us really know for sure, you know? But
mm-hmm.
let's just imagine that there really is a higher plan, that there is for our highest good. That gives me hope, and that inspires me to be my best self, to be doing acts of good, not for what I'm going to get, but trusting that there's a system here that's in play.
Mm-hmm. I heard Matt say once that in every circumstance, it's actually the best that it can be given everything else that's happening. So what if you came from that perspective and seeking that even though things may feel hard, it could be a lot worse.
Well, and so where do you come from in the people in your circles? Where do they, you know, in the support that you get? Where does that come
mm-hmm.
from for you, Robin?
The support that I come from me? More than anything, it's in my time of meditation, in my time of just seeking to be in a place of being quiet and spacious. I find right now that journaling is helping me a lot to be able to kind of shift myself, spending time in nature and, you know, just seeking to see the things I can be grateful for in my life.
Yeah, I know, but okay,
that's
great. And what if when you're in having conflict with the people that you love, that the people that you work with, that the people that you depend on to be there with you and for you, and that's not going so great, what then?
Same thing, the things to be grateful for. And I do have mentors in my life that are older than me that I go to for just to ask for opinions. You and I have had conversations lately of different stuff that has come up in my life and being able to just to get that different perspective. And I find all of that to be helpful.
So I think that's it. Can you really shift from why is this happening to me to why is this happening for me?
Mm-hmm.
Not a mind game, right? But this is how I choose to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
part of the thing it says in this chapter is that the soul views everything as a gift of opportunity.
Right? Well, so what the ego regrets in outcome, the soul rejoices in opportunity. And
mm-hmm.
and I do believe that, but for me, people can feel like I don't care if I don't stop and really listen to them, right, about the angst they're feeling. I'm not going to stay
mm-hmm.
there very long, but it's like, okay, yeah, that, you know, I've lost a job, you know, people I care about are sick, some people that they care about are dying, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot.
It is a lot.
You know,
that's huge.
So, and for me, it's like, how do we stay in the game? I'm not disputing anything, just saying that the severity of where a lot of people were, they were already emotionally exhausted and exhausted in
mm-hmm.
lots of other ways. And then, you know, he talks about here on page 8 about shifting out of regret in order to realize the truth of you did nothing wrong, we need to use self-compassion. One of the soul
mm-hmm.
attributes. And so I think what I see all the time, and we talk about, you know, there's certainly self-love and self-nurturing and self-caring. And for a lot of people, it's an esoteric thing and it's a head thing. But it's really moving. Can I really love myself?
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I love myself, not a narcissistic way, not it's all about me, but truly that love, that I can love others. I think, you know, we've kind of had this conversation before. I believe I can only give and receive as much love as I've been healed to. So the compassionate part for me is doing, like you're saying, the journaling and the prayer work and the meditation work, using tools. You know, where our dear friend Dr. Kristen and doing the work with her about, you've got to be using those tools to really keep ourselves. That's, to me, the biggest place where I can be self-compassionate, is doing mm-hmm. the kind of work and being, treating, one of the things I love that she does is, you know, the patting on the chest, you know, that butterfly where you have your hands on your chest and you're kind of tapping back and forth like a butterfly, like you're tapping a baby. And
mm-hmm.
being that loving mother towards us, as we've got Mother's Day coming up. And so it's like, how can we really mother ourselves?
Well, that's a great example of being able to, you know, can you be in a place where you can pat yourself and find ways mm-hmm. that, you know, you do have a place of touch and comfort for yourself, and like being able to truly put your hands on your heart and be present with yourself. I was listening to Greg Braden the day, and he was talking about in the shaman traditions. He said he's been all over the world, and mm-hmm. he always, every different kind of groups of people with him, he's like, where's home? And he said they touch their heart. It's so, like, we instinctively know that that's where home is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, and if you go to HeartMath will, you know, show on a scientific level that there's a certain group of cells within the heart that's the brain of the heart. And it's the same thing where it remembers, just like our brain, our you know, regular brain remembers, our heart remembers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to come from that place of being able to comfort and nurture ourselves. So, you know, we can get scientific with this. You know, Matt's not sharing that in the book, but I think that's something to really look at, that on an organic level. You know, how do we be able to process and be able to be in a place where we can be, you know, be the nicest and most supportive and open-minded to ourselves, as we would seek to be for a dear friend when we know they're going through something.
Well, and the top of 10 here, is that this is all too often, the ego believes that if you are not the most popular person in the room, you must be doing something wrong. And most likely it's because you've been trained to be fueled by validation and approval of others. Like, how many hits do I get? How many listeners do we have? How many do we get those turned around into buying a flower arrangement or ordering something that we produce? And how many likes do I get on, you know, Instagram? All those kinds of things. And in the world today, that can be really challenging, to not be
mm-hmm.
caught up in, that's what makes me right. That's what makes me enough. That's what makes me good. So really, what I'm saying, Robin, is I really want us to really turn things into really tangible. And how do we really live this? And I think it's, like you say, taking time to jot down, what do I love about myself? What are my gifts and talents that are uniquely mine? Each one of us have their own. And how am I living that in my life, in my work? And so what a great opportunity we have this. I'm part of a calling coaches group, or people that help people live their calling. We, you know, way beyond career, way beyond job. And we meet once a month to support ourselves and each other, which is such a gift. And what we're going to be talking about this Thursday is, how do we support the people that we're supporting in acknowledging their gifts, and how to apply that. So I think now, I know you're certainly looking at that in your business, in your career, as a mother, as a wife, with everything that's happening, this gives us a great opportunity to get all those things and say, where am I not loving myself enough, which reflects that slop over, if you want to look at that, flows to everywhere else in your life. Do I love my gifts? Do I, even if I'm not getting any likes?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, what if I get a bad rating by somebody? What if I get
mm-hmm.
100 really great ones and one that's really awful?
Mm-hmm. Well, and they say that, you know, for every one bad one you get, that it has to take up at least five to correct that for yourself emotionally.
Well, maybe, but, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I think for most of us, I could get 5,000 if I'm in not in the right space, and that one would not ever not hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer to any of this, but it's just
mm-hmm.
a matter of how do I take the value in that? Okay, let's say there's some criticism. All right, I'll look at that. What's the validity in that? And there may be some. And what am I going to do about it? Instead of, okay, I think that's the difference. Let's play with that. Instead of being wrong, it's like, okay, this is what's happening. What am I going to do based on getting that information?
Mm-hmm. Well, with the golden rule, one thing that Matt says is it helps you to see if someone doesn't agree with you, it could only be because you are both looking at a different path. If someone insists you should go right, but you know you should, your heart tells you to go left, maybe this is where your paths are taking both of you in different directions. Maybe
yeah,
you're walking
absolutely.
Together, but not always following the same pathways home. So it's just like my way of seeing things isn't necessarily wrong. It's the way that I see it. It's like you could be seeing something, and you could be, if for you, it's your truth and what's right for you.
Mm-hmm. And
so
I was talking to somebody earlier today about that a relationship, a work relationship, was not working out. And what a lot of times what people do is they'll do something, some behavior to blow it up, right? And so it's like, oh, good, then I can walk away. Even if I look like the bad guy, I get to walk away. Try to, like, that somebody has to be wrong, right? Instead of this just isn't working. Or I think one of my favorite questions is, okay, this is what will work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of I have to do something that's going to sever the relationship so I don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Automatically make it a negative.
Something's got to be wrong, right?
Yeah.
What if nobody has to be wrong?
You know, it could be a matter that, you know, you're accompanying someone for as long as it's meant to be, but you could be going in a direction that's actually for your highest potential, but you don't necessarily know that at the time, and which doesn't always lead that, you know, both of you in the same direction.
Well, and here
you know,
how many times
you hold yourself back in the name of love because, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be a good fit for your partner.
Mm. So you're talking about here on 16, in a way that could never make sense in my rational mind, I didn't attract abusive encounters because I did something wrong. It occurred to usher me into a depth of transcendental forgiveness I am so grateful I was ready to accept.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, you know, really moving this past, you know, right or wrong or esoteric talk about this, but going, what if you really believe everything that's happening is for your highest good? And how am I going to take that information to be a better person, right, to do my work, my calling work, to have relationships that serve everybody involved? I mean, not from you're wrong or you're wrong. It's just like, what is my part now? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Next?
And really recognizing when it comes to something like that, you know, being able to ultimately forgive from a place that seemingly might an old you would be in this place of like never can forgive, but being able to re-know that in a way that in a forgiving, you know, actually forgiving myself first for the way that I had interpreted something and being able to move forward from that. Because ultimately, I hear over and over again, forgiveness is really for yourself.
Absolutely. Well, and it's always, that I misunderstood something. Well, even in this situation, I was talking about this person I was supporting. Instead of that, this person was not being really nice to them and was really doing things that were, you know, really not really very kind. And they kept saying, oh, it's my fault because of this. It's my fault because of this. And it's like, wow. You know, your need to make yourself wrong is really making you not look at the information accurately. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're chaining it
bad.
On whatever guy, so, you know, that you can be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It said, no matter the depth of hurt, forgiveness energetically heals emotional wounds, transforming perpetuates us and the victims into heroes. Sometimes it is the action of the legal system that creates the breaking down in someone's unconsciousness to allow something deeper to shine through. You may very well be motivated to allow through this legal recourse to ensure the unconscious actions of one person to do no harm over another, while spiritually clearing yourself on a soul for any degree of darkness through acts of radical forgiveness. So, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, making it into the material world to have justice when it's a matter of being able to truly see it in a way that's higher than, you know, anything man-made.
So really getting past, you know, in the first, you know, rule that you've done nothing wrong. And instead of making ourselves wrong, how do I look at this as why is this happening for my highest good? And not, and if I really am one with everything, this is really for everybody else's highest good. So I'm, even if it looks like it may be that I don't care or that it's a hurtful cause, I'm really doing it because I know it's for my highest good and theirs. And part of it is, like you're saying, you've got to have that space where you create stillness. You've got to have that space where you really hear the truth. Because the truth feels much different than the illusion. So let's look at, if you're ready to, on page 14, your mantra for rule number one. Did you want to read through that?
Sure. So each of these different chapters, Matt offers a mantra, and it's something that he does with a lot of the different things that he likes to present for people. And it's really a way of being able to shift, you know, different concepts and being able to, you know, bring this into something that you can see how it feels in your body and allow it to shift. So it said, to begin the process of infusing yourself with more self-compassion, please repeat the following statements out loud. And it says, in order to be who I was born to become, life couldn't have happened any other way. Now take a deep breath and see how it feels to embrace a depth of acceptance beyond anything that the ego can believe. And then again say, in order to be who I was born to become, life couldn't have happened any other way. Now just feel that for a moment. Life couldn't have happened any other way. And even though we have choices in every moment, our choices is simply to reflect back to the universe a level of the consciousness you're currently operating from. And in order to be who you're born to become, life couldn't have happened any other way. So the translation of that is you didn't do anything wrong. Even just a consideration of this truth creates a cultivation of self-compassion. I didn't do anything wrong. This is because only self-compassion can hear its depth of meaning. Only self-compassion can agree with this. And equally, so only the ego will disagree with it. Only the ego can hear you've done nothing wrong and will say, I beg to differ. No matter how harsh, opinionated, or self-narrowed your inner critic seems to be, it is always important to have great humility and compassion for the ego. Like a precarious little child, its purpose is to remember your history of experiences to ensure each one inspires the healing and transformation it was created to provide. And so through the eyes of the universe. Go ahead.
So those are words, and they're beautiful words, but they're really hard to relate to. So can you be with those words for a minute and tell me how that manifests in your life? How do you live that?
Well, you know, if my ego is so eagerly can disagree and just say, I beg to differ,
Does that happen in your life?
Oh, sure. And so it's a matter of stepping back from that and saying, you know, what's really true for me? Is that true? Can I know that's true for myself? You know, did I really do nothing wrong with all that? And, you know, as I've been able to look at this, I mean, since I've written this, read this chapter, I've asked, you know, continually asked myself, and more than not, I can look at that and just say, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Because I'm seeking to always be like, if I need to change, help me to change to see what that is, and being able to grow from that, and what's the opportunity. So I think it's just really coming from a different place. I've heard it called the higher room. Can I be in a higher place, seeking to have a wider perspective, a broader view of really what's happening instead of being in that moment and allowing my emotions to run with me, whether I want to be mad or whatever, scared or whatever. So I think that's part of it, is being able to look at that. Because I think it's important, this last sentence, it says, through the eyes of the universe, there are equal amounts of compassion for all, which allows us to become sincerely endeared by the ego instead of upset by it. Because,
well,
I mean, my ego's there. Go ahead.
A good friend of mine, Carolyn, she is an amazing presenter. And I don't know if you were at this group, but I'm sure I've shared this with you, but there was a group of us, a woman's circle, and she, every so often, she won't want to say, when I do a circle, I always have to have a chair where nobody's sitting. And so she'd be presenting, and then she'd stop and say, thank you for sharing, please sit down. And that chair was for her ego. And so she honored it. She would listen to that part of her, and then she would say, let's discuss this further later. And literally had a seat at the table for her ego. And I thought it was really lovely, you know, and finding ways to, you know, to put that into your life. So let's look at the exercise for your spiritual evolution. And just knowing that these chapters really aren't that big, but there's so much to them. So, you know, our charter is, how do we take amazing information from people that are doing, you know, tried and true stuff and cutting edge stuff, and how do we live it in our lives, and how do we support you, if you feel called to, right, to living what we bring to the table. Because it's a matter, not everybody's going to want to have part of that helping. So it's like Mom always said, well, try it, see if you like it, right?
Take a bite, we have a bite at the table.
Not going to force feed you, but you might consider, right? You might consider taking a bite, and then you never have to have it again if you don't want, but give it a try. So here, the spiritual exercise is, think of all the things in your life that you think you did wrong. What are the things you hold against yourself? Let's unravel the case that you have against you. What are the things that when you pass through the gates of heaven, you might think, I hope we don't talk about that. Could it be possible that the things you think you've done wrong weren't actually right for your highest evolution? How are the things you did wrong actually right for you? Take a moment to openly consider it. If that feels like a moment of relief, you're one step closer to letting go. If not, only more self-compassion is needed. So that might be, you know, an exercise to play with, to kind of look at. And I do, for myself personally, I do believe that, you know, there is a higher plan and that everything is for my highest good. And, you know, I do wish I had done things differently. I can't change it, so I accept it as it is. But what I can do with that energy, being kind and loving to myself, I've learned that going forward, I don't intend on ever doing that again.
Yeah, the mantra is, in order to be who I was born to become, life couldn't have happened any other way. Yeah, so just, you know, take a little time to look at those questions with the exercise. And I think it is very helpful, you know, how are the things you did wrong actually right for you? I think that's a really great question, because it's always that, you know, in hindsight, boy, if I'd known that, then I wouldn't have, you know, whatever,
right,
worked out or had a, you know, a new, hopefully a bigger heart of gratitude for the things that were happening to me in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to slow them down and be able to look at that. So
and,
I think that,
you know,
that can be very helpful.
That I did,
right, that I do regret. I can, you know, that's part of, you know, recovery, is that I can go back and I can make an amends now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can
for
take
sure.
a new action,
you know.
But being kind and loving to myself in that process, whether they want to be part of that or not, they may not. And that's okay. They have every right
and that's
to
okay.
not accept that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, you know, I'm doing the best I can with what I know and they're doing what they can't, you know, what they know. I think that's a mm-hmm. part of that too, for the opportunity to be able to look at that. So thank you, Aime.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I know this
to
is
these, a lot to these chapters. So, you know, if you feel interested in the conversation and the letting go, I really encourage everybody to get the book and join us and come along for this this wonderful conversation. It's something that's going to be ongoing. We're going to be taking our time with this book. We have a couple other events and people coming up too in the near future that we'll probably be announcing probably in a couple weeks. So we're excited about that too, that we're working on right now. And we want to thank you for joining us, all of our international listeners. So go forth, and the universe always has a plan for you, and it's good. Good always. Thanks, Aime.
That's right. I forgive you. I forgive me.
I forgive me. I forgive you. I forgive everybody.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.